Good morning, everybody. During the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim introduced many Yomim Tovim over and above the biblical Yomim Tovim. In Chumash, we only have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. And they introduced many Yomim Tovim. Some of them were one day, some of them were 3 days, some 5 days, some 8 days. Chanukah was one of those holidays, and Purim was another one. Purim was before the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. The story of Purim occurred toward the end of the 7 years of Golus Bavel, a few years before the completion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all of these Yomim Tovim became bottle. Why is this the case? So the Gemara explains why. All of these holidays are referred to as the Yomim Tovim of Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis has that name because Megillas Tainis is a little book, sells for $3 in the store. And it starts with Nisan Iyar Sivan, goes in the order of the Jewish months, the Jewish calendar. And it lists off all these holidays that were introduced by the rabbis, and it gives you a brief explanation of what it's all about and how many days the holiday lists. And it's called Megillah because it was written down at the time that the Mishnayos was still being transmitted orally. Torah Shebaal Peh is supposed to be transmitted orally. So this was written down. Why is it called Megillas Tainis? That these are the holidays when you're not allowed to have a Tainis. You're not allowed to fast, and you don't say a Hesped either. I don't have a watch. I'll talk forever. Okay. Thank you. So the key to understanding what the common theme is, what's the common denominator of all of these Yom Tovim, the key to understanding this is the Kriyas HaTorah that we read on Chanukah. The Chachamim introduced, on any special day, you have to read Kriyas HaTorah, whether it's a happy occasion or a sad occasion. On Tisha B'Av, it's the saddest day of the year, and on the Tainas Tzibur, on Shivasa B'Tammuz, and on Chanukah and Purim, happy occasion, sad occasion, you always learn Kriyas HaTorah. You always learn Kriyas HaTorah every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. But in addition to that takana, made a takana that everything in our lives, when you have a bar mitzvah, you have a chasana, they're always the Torah. So what is the Kriyas HaTorah on Chanukah? So the Kriyas HaTorah is from Parshas Naso, when Moshe Rabbeinu completed the construction of the Mishkan. So each one of the Nesiim brought special karbonas each of the first 12 days in the month of Nisan. The last 7 days of the month of Adar were the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, where Klal Yisrael brought special karbanos, and then the first 12 days of Chodesh Nisan, each one of the Nesim brought their karbanos yachid, their individual karbanos. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash, as well as in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Ramban writes that in his opinion, this is one of the 613 mitzvahs, that whenever you complete the building of a Beis HaMikdosh, like Moshe Rabbeinu completed the building of the Mishkan, or Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the Bais Rishon, so he celebrated, it says in Tanakh. And then when the second Beis HaMikdash was completed, they celebrated for 3 weeks. And when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, it says in the end of Nebuas Yecheskel, that there'll be special karbonah, special celebration for 6.5 months, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until after Sukkot. It doesn't say which year, but it says starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until after Sukkot, there'll be special karbonahs brought. The Ramban's opinion is that this is a biblical mitzvah to celebrate on the occasion of the completion of the Beis HaMikdash. We have not so many Bat Mikdashim, but that's what it says in Navi. It says when Shlomo HaMelech completed, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, and Lasi Lavai, when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built. Some of the Achrenim say that even when you complete the building of a yeshiva, the building of a Beis HaKnesses, that the Navi Yecheskel refers to that as a Mikdash Miyat. The Navi Yecheskel lived through the Churban Bais Rishon, and he said, B'nevuah, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, and the Jews will be sent into Golus Bavel. They won't have a Beis HaMikdash, but they'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdash. Elohem LaMikdash Miyat. They'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara understands that that's a reference to the Bat Knesias, or Bat Midrash Shebet Bavel. That's a reference to all the shuls and all the yeshivas all over the world. They have a status of a Mikdash Miyat. The sum of the Paskim write, Lahaloche, when you complete the construction of a shul, or of a yeshiva, but Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah min HaTorah to celebrate, like when you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So min HaTorah, this obligation only is to celebrate upon the completion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, or possibly building of a yeshiva, or Beis HaKnesses, HaMikdash Miyad. What if you preserved the Beis Hamikdash from destruction. So strictly speaking, there's no obligation to celebrate, but that's apparently optional. What happens if someone made a major donation to the Beis Hamikdash and improved the structure, or or there was something wrong with the Hakrovas HaKarbonas, they were bringing the Karbonas in an improper fashion, and you straighten out the Hakrovas HaKarbonas, or the institutions of the Beis Hamikdash were improved, the Kohuna Gedolah is an institution of the Beis Hamikdash, and the Sanhedrin Gedolah is an institution of the Beis Hamikdash. The Dinah Sanhedrin has to meet in the Beis Hamikdash. So if the Sanhedrin Gedolah was improved, or the Hakrovas HaKarbonas were improved, or the structure was improved, that the structure of the Beis Hamikdash was protected from destruction. So this is cause to celebrate. The actual mitzvah min HaTorah, the obligation to celebrate, that the Ramban thinks is a biblical obligation, that's only when you complete the building of the Beis Hamikdash. But when you just improve the Beis Hamikdash, that's apparently optional. So the Gemara explains in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that this is the common theme of all of the holidays in Megillas Tainis. They all have something or another to do with the Beis Hamikdash. And that's why the accepted opinion is that after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, all of these holidays cease to exist, because they only are connected with the Beis Hamikdash. After the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, the Navi tells us we should observe Avelus, we should observe mourning over the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. When the Beis Hamikdash is completed, protected, improved, and so on, then you celebrate. And when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, then you have to observe Avelus over that. So that Kriya Sator that we lay in, that special section that we lay in on Chanukah, from Parshas Naso, the Chanukah Sanisim, that the first 12 days in the month of Nisan, each one of the Nisim from the Shvatim brought special karbonas, that is the whole theme of the Yontif of Chanukah. That's what the Yontif is all about. Why should Chanukah and Purim be different from the other Yom Tov? That's a good question. Why is all around 35 Yom Tov? Every week there was another Yontif, and they would leave that Tachnun, and they would wouldn't say any hespedim. If there's a funeral, you're not allowed to say hespedim on Chanukah. And when the second Beis Hamikdash was standing on all of these holidays, all the Yom Tov and Megillas Tainis, it wouldn't say hespedim, and it wouldn't be allowed to fast. It wouldn't be allowed to be guys and tainis on them, because it's a yom tov. It's a yom simcha. Why are Chanukah and Purim different from the others is a very important question. It could possibly be that the following is the explanation. Purim was a problem in the first place. The Shagasaria has a sefer on Rosh Hashanah that's called Turi Evan. So the Turi Evan raises the question, and others raise the question as well. How do they have the right to establish the Yontif of Purim in the first place? There's an issue of Baltoisif. You're not allowed to add on additional Yomim Tovim. If a family has a birthday party for the four-year-old, that's not a Baltoisif. All of Kol Yisrael are not celebrating. If a family celebrates someone who graduates college, a person celebrates the 50th wedding anniversary. So the whole Klal Yisrael is not celebrating. But if you have a Yontif that all the Jews all over the world are celebrating in some form or another, so the Prichodosh writes, commenting on this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Prichodosh says that that's an issue of Baal Tosef. If you're not allowed to add on any additional Yom Tovim unless they conform to the rules and regulations of Megillas Tainis. What are the rules and regulations? It has something to do with the Beis Hamikdash. So if Purim, the story of Purim occurred before the second Beis Hamikdash was built. It was in the middle. It wasn't completed yet. So what did it have to do with this? With any Beis Hamikdash? There was no first Beis Hamikdash. Second Beis Hamikdash wasn't completed yet. So why were they allowed to establish the Yontif of Purim in the first place? So the Nesivos is a commentary on Choshem Nishpat. So the author of the Nesivos was a very prominent Goyen. He wrote many Svarim. So he has, among his many Svarim, he has a commentary on Megillas Esther. He explains that although the story of Purim, according to the Talmudic tradition, the story of Purim occurred during the 7 years of Golas Bavel, before the completion of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Chachamim in that generation saw through the tragedy of Purim. It was a tragedy. A nice religious Jewish girl had to marry the king Achashverosh, and she lived there forever. She lived till Achashverosh died. She outlived him. But that was a tragedy, and the whole Jewish people knew that this religious girl had to live. She couldn't keep Shabbos and Kashrus. She couldn't keep anything. She was married to the goy. So that was an absolute tragedy. But the Chachamim in that generation saw through the tragedy. They felt that this is going to lead up to the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. And apparently they felt it's going to lead up to the building of the third Beis Hamikdash also. That's why, the question is why, so maybe some other time we'll talk about that. Why did they think that the Nes Purim is going to lead up to the building on the second Beis HaMikdash and not going to lead up to the building on the third Beis HaMikdash as well? But that's what they felt. So therefore, they had the right to establish the Yontav HaPurim Al Shem HaAsid. They were establishing it as what the Gemara refers to as Aschalta de Geula. Geula means Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and Aschalta de Geula means something that's going to lead up to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So Purim in the first place was established Al Shem HaAsid, not Al Shem HaAvar. We're not commemorating what happened. What happened had nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash. What it was an indication that was a step towards the building of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash the second time and the third time as well. Hanukkah initially was instituted in the middle of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was improved. The Beis HaMikdash was being used for Avodah Zarah purposes. And the Hashmonaim had a battle. It was really a fight. It was Jews against Jews. It was the fight between the Hashmonaim and the Misyavnim. It wasn't so much against the Yavanim, it was really against the Jews who were worshipping Avodah Zarah at that time. And the Chachamim made a Yantav because the Beis HaMikdash was straightened out. They made a new Mizbech, they made a new Menorah. And so we understand why for 200 years, a little over 200 years, the last 210 years of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, they celebrated Hanukkah in commemoration of the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was straightened out. And then every time the Hashmonaim were victorious in battle, also they would make a Yontif. Why? Because victorious in battle meant that the Beis HaMikdash was spared from destruction. The enemy was interested in destroying the Beis HaMikdash or using Beis HaMikdash for Avodah Zarah purposes. So it's not that whenever the Israeli army is victorious in battle, you make a Yontif. Whenever they're victorious in battle, you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You have to say halal hoidoy, you have to say something, but you don't make a yontif unless it has something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So the Hashmonaim, every time they were victorious in battle, they were saving the Beis HaMikdash from either destruction or being defiled, being used for Avodah Zarah purposes. So that's why they made a yontif every time they were successful in battle. But all of those yomtovim only had to do with the second Beis HaMikdash. So after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so all the yomtovim went down the drain. Except for Hanukkah. Why is Hanukkah different? So if you study Trei Osor, the Navi Haggai was one of the last three prophets that we had. Haggai Zechariah Malachi, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Bnei Yisrael on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim. And he told them, this is what it says in Yecheskel and it says in Tehillim. It doesn't say explicitly in Chumash. Maybe it's Merumas in the Chumash, but not explicit. But in Yecheskel and Tehillim, it's explicit. On the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told that when they would come to Eretz Yisrael, after the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar, they would be sent into Golos, and the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. Because they were crying, B'chiya Shel Chinam, they were crying for nothing. On Tisha B'Av, Atem B'chisa B'chiya Shel Chinam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to be kaver, a B'chiya L'doros. There's going to be what to cry about. So they were told that the first Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. So Shlomo HaMelech, who built the first Beis HaMikdash, knew that it was going to be destroyed. And he said, Baruch HaKodesh, what's going to be with the second Beis HaMikdash? Will that one also be destroyed? Will that be the ultimate Beis HaMikdash? So he said in the Psukim in Shir HaShirim, Im Chaymohi, Nivna Oleho Tiras Kesev, Im Delasi, Notzu Alalu Achoriz. Those are two Psukim in Shir HaShirim. So the Gemara in Yuma, in the first parak, understands the Pasuk to mean, Im Chaymohi, if after the 70 years of Golas Bavel, the Jews will return to Eretz Yisrael, everybody will come en masse to Eretz Yisrael, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like Tiras Kesef, like a metal structure, She'ein HaRekeb Sholed Bo, that it's not going to rot. Metal doesn't rot. It doesn't rot means two things. Number one, the second Beis HaMikdash will be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash. And number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to send us Nevi'im to give us Tochocha, to give us Musa. However, in Delasi, if it'll be Dalazom, it'll be a Shvach Aliyah, hardly anybody will return after they got permission. After the 7 years of Golas Bavel, hardly anybody will return. That's what happened. From the millions of Jews who lived in Bavel, just 43,000 or so, came back to Eretz Yisrael. So then, not so allah lu achores. The second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut, like a wooden bungalow. And wooden structures can rot away. Rekev sholed bo. What do you mean it rots away? Number one, it means the second Beis HaMikdash will be doomed to destruction. And number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to send any more prophets. So that's what the Rebbe writes in one place. When Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he knew that there was hardly anybody came back. So Ezra knew from day number one, the second Beis HaMikdash was osed lehecharev. He knew that it was going to be destroyed. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. He was angry at Bnei Yisrael. But he had to send the three Nevi'im, Chagas, Chayim, Malachi, because without a Navi, you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash. And Baruch Shalom desired, he wanted very much, we should build a Beis HaMikdash. So these three prophets, Chagas, Chayim, Malachi, the Gemara says, Gimel Nevi'im, Olei Moim, Bavel, only these three, and that was the end. Because, and each one of these three Nevi'im gave a Nevu'ah about a certain aspect of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Halacha. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash without authorization from a Navi. Even if you can figure out archaeologically where everything is supposed to be, you have Talmid HaChamim, that's not good enough. You have to have a Navi who oversees the building on the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Navi Chagai was one of the three, Chagas Chayim Malachi. The Navi Chagai was one of the three who was encouraging Bnei Israel. They should build a Beis HaMikdash. They were old, so they built a Beis HaMikdash. There were old timers there when they built the second Beis HaMikdash who remembered the first Beis HaMikdash. People 80 years old, so it wasn't around for 70 years. They were 10 years old, or 85 years old. They were 15 years old when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And when they saw the second Beis HaMikdash, they thought this was a fake. They said, this is Ka'ayin, this is nothing. This is zero. This is not a Beis HaMikdash. It was missing so many things. How can you call this a Beis HaMikdash? It's not to be understood, but the Pasuk says that the younger people were dancing and singing and rejoicing and cheering. They're very cheery. Just built a Beis HaMikdash. And the old-timers were crying because they were sobbing. How does this compare to the first Beis HaMikdash? And the Pasuk says, well, we don't understand that the singing and the rejoicing of the younger people was drowned out by the sobbing of the old-timers. How many old-timers could there be? 85 years old. There should have been so many younger people. But that's what it says in the Nevi'im. Chagas Chayim Malachi, and it says like that. And Ezra and Nechemiah says like that. That the old-timers were crying so much, they drowned out the rejoicing of the younger people. So the Navi Chagai, all the three, they're encouraging Bnei Yisrael, so this is what Hashem desires, this is His wish. He will feel honored. Ve'ertzebo, this is my desire. Ve'ikovda, I will be honored by your building me the Beis HaMikdash. And the Nevi'im say, Chazak Zerubbabel, Chazak Amhar, everybody should be Mechazik, even though it's missing so many things. So then the Navi Chagai says a Nevuah. Hinenechem Arishas HaShemayim Esa'oritz. He says, I will cause a miracle to occur in the middle of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi in his commentary on Treyosa writes that that's a reference to the Nes Chanukah. That the Nes Chanukah was to occur in order to prove to the Bnei Yisrael that there is a Hashruas HaShchina. And the Bais Rishon and the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made, there was a Gilui Shechina. So everybody saw there was some heavenly light, not the normal light that was shining there. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Gilui Shechina. So the people felt that no Hashruas HaShchina at all. So what value is the Beis HaMikdash? So the Navi Chagai says, no, there is a Shechina here, but it's hidden. And some tremendous miracle will occur in the middle of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's a reference to the Nes Chanukah, just to demonstrate that there is a Shechina, and all the nations of the world will come to visit this holy site to see what the Beis HaMikdash is all about. But if that's only on one occasion, so what good is that? But the whole period of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was longer than the first Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't noticeable, it wasn't apparent that there was any Shechina. The Shechina was not Begoli. So then the Navi continues to say, all three, Chagas Chayim Malach, all three say this in some words or another, that the second Beis HaMikdash will be the cornerstone, will be the beginning of the third Beis HaMikdash. When the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that was the end of that period. The second Beis HaMikdash was not considered a continuation of the first Beis HaMikdash. And the old timers, let's say there was some Kohanim who had been Makro Karbonis in the first Beis HaMikdash, and the din is that before a Kohen has the right to be Makro Karbonis, he has to bring a Minchas Chinuch. That's a Karbon. People know it's a Sefer, but it's a Karbon also. A Kohen who wants to be Makro Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash has to bring a Minchas Chinuch first time in his life. So the Psukim say that the old timers who were still around when the second Beis HaMikdash was built had to bring a new Minchas Chinuch. The one that they brought 75 years ago was not valid. This is under new auspices now. Second Beis HaMikdash is not a continuation of the first. But the third Beis HaMikdash is a continuation of the second. I don't think we're going to have any Kohanim who are alive over 2,000 years. But in principle, in theory, if there would be a kohen who brought karbonis in the second day Samigdash, you wouldn't have to bring a minchas chinuch again to be allowed to bring karbonis in the third day Samigdash, because the third is a continuation of the second. So that's what the Navi Chagai, all three say the same. Navi Chagai says the Nes Chanukah is going to occur in the middle of the period of the second day Samigdash to demonstrate that there is a Hashra'as HaShchina. And then, but it won't be visible before and after. The Shechina won't be apparent before and after. No. And the second Beis HaMikdash is only a haschala. It's only like laying a cornerstone. But the third Beis HaMikdash, will have a greater Gilu Shechina than the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made. So apparently, the first 210 years after the Nes Chanukah, they observed Chanukah al Shem HaOvar, in commemoration of what happened, that they straightened out the Beis HaMikdash, and they made a new Mizbech, and they made a new menorah, and they brought all the karbonos. Then after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, all the Yom HaTovim and Megillas Tainis were terminated, except for Chanukah, because Chanukah was al Shem HaAsid also. Then as Chanukah was to demonstrate that not only was there a hidden Shechina during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, but there will be a third Beis HaMikdash which will outshine the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made. That's why we continue to celebrate Chanukah today, even after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. It's al Shem HaAsid. It's like Purim was from day number one. Purim from the very outset was al Shem HaAsid, as an Aschalta de Gula, that the next Purim is going to lead to the ability, going to give us the ability to build the second and the third Beis HaMikdash. So Chanukah was to demonstrate that there will be a third Beis HaMikdash. So what are the Takanos Chachamim on Chanukah? Was that you learn Kriyas HaTorah, and we learn the Kriyas HaTorah about the Chanukah Sanesim, because that's what the whole essence of the Yontav is all about. On Chanukah is the end of Kislev, the beginning of Teves, so you always have Rosh Chodesh, either one day or 2 days. You always have Rosh Chodesh in the middle of Chanukah. So in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara, it says, on Rosh Chodesh you give four aliyahs. Chanukah you only give three aliyahs. On Rosh Chodesh you give four aliyahs. So on that day of Chanukah, that day or days, sometimes one day Yontav, sometimes 2 days Yontav, Rosh Chodesh. So on that day, which is Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah, you're supposed to take out two Sefer Torah. You're supposed to lay in three aliyahs in the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh, and then the fourth aliyah, Bishal Chanukah. The yeshiva has so many different minyanim all over the place. So every year, there's always one minyan that they make a mistake, that they start laying first Bishal Chanukah. So look in Shulchan Aruch, there's all machlokes, what do you do? The Ramah says that if by mistake the Balkari started laying Chanukah first, and then you realize in the middle, so you should stop and roll up the Sefer Torah and lay from Rosh Chodesh, and then lay Chanukah afterwards. That's the psak of the Ramah. And then the Taz disagrees, and he says, no, L'chatchila, the proper Seder is to lay three aliyahs Rosh Chodesh and the fourth aliyah B'shal Chanukah, but if by mistake you started laying Chanukah, So you finish with Chanukah, and then you give Rosh Chodesh later. So here there are two versions of this. What do you do? What do you mean? You finish up Chanukah one aliyah, and then you give three aliyahs Rosh Chodesh. Should have been the reverse. Should have been three aliyahs Rosh Chodesh, and the fourth one Chanukah. So here, by mistake, you lay Chanukah first. You finish one aliyah Chanukah, and then you give three aliyahs Rosh Chodesh. And no, you give three aliyahs Chanukah, and one aliyah Rosh Chodesh at the end. So make sure you don't make a mistake. Okay. Make sure that in your minyan they don't make a mistake. Okay. What else were the takanas chachamim on Chanukah? They made a takana, you should recite Hallel. They made a takana by Hallel v'hoido. Hallel, we say Hallel Shalom. On Rosh Chodesh, we recite Chatzi Hallel. We recite Hallel b'dilug. The Gemara explains why, because there's only a minhag to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And since it's only a minhag, so the Gemara says, that's why we recite Bedilug. You're not supposed to say Hallel Shalom unless you're obligated to. It's not proper to say Hallel Shalom unless you're obligated to. And a Chanukah, the Chachamim made a takana that you're obligated to recite Hallel Shalom. This is a Hallel. There are three different kinds of Hallel. Hallel on Pesach Shavuot Sukkis is a Hallel that's an expression of Simchas Yontav. Hallel, when the Jews experienced Kriyas Yamsuf, so they said on their own, Oz Yashir. Intuitively, they recited Oz Yashir. And the Torah records it to imply that this is the correct thing to do, that Hallel B'Shas HaNes, Hallel B'Shas HaYeshua, is a biblical chiyuv. That's a real mitzvah in HaTorah. It has to be spontaneous, And the people should understand on their own that B'Shas HaNes, B'Shas HaYeshua, you recite Hallel. What about Hallel Zechel HaNes? Every year we recite Hallel in commemoration of the Nes that occurred on Chanukah, so that's a famous machlokes. The Chasam Sofer is of the opinion that that too is deraisa. Just like Hallel B'Shas HaNes is deraisa, based on the fact that the Chumash records Oz Yashir, so Hallel Zechel HaNes, according to the Chasam Sofer's opinion, is also deraisa. The obligation to recite Hallel on Chanukah is deraisa. And the Netziv quotes the Chasam Sofer, and he disagrees. But he disagrees with respect. So he usually refers to the Chasam Sofer as a Chasam Sofer. Here, he refers to him as Hagoyen Mahatzadik HaChasam Sofer. Because he's going to disagree with him. So he says, Hagoyen Mahatzadik HaChasam Sofer writes in his Shuvah that Hallel Chanukah is deraisa. He says, with all due respect, it's not true. He says, it's a Gemara in Brochas on Daf Yudalad. Gemara said, Beferish, Hallel Chanukah is only the Rabbanim. So the Netziv thinks that Hallel on Bishas HaNes is the Raisa Hallel Zechel HaNes, is a machlokes, the Chasam Sofer and the Netziv, whether that's the Raisa the Rabbanon. And Hallel on Yontif, that's a famous machlokes, the Ramam and the Bahag. Whether Hallel on Yontif, as an expression of Simchas Yontif, is that the Raisa the Rabbanon. So again, the Chachamim made a takana that you have to recite Hallel Sholem, either it's the Raisa the Rabbanon, you have to recite Hallel Sholem, and Chanukah, you don't skip, you don't do Diluk. Then they made a takana to recite Hodo'ah. Hodo'ah means in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Modeh Ma'anachton Loch. We thank you for this, that, and the other thing. And then we say, V'al HaNisim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Achrayim. Then more correct is, you should say, V'al HaNisim. Because in Modeh Ma'anachton Loch, Al Nisech Shepachol Yamimana, V'al Niflasehu Tavasech Shepachol Le'ezer Rebekah B'tzor Ha'Rayim, V'al HaNisim, V'al HaPurkim. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for A, B, C, D, for all of these things. The paragraph doesn't begin Al HaNisim. It doesn't make sense. Paragraph begins, Moedim Anach Naloch. We thank you for a whole list of things, V'al Zeh, V'Al Anisim Al HaPurkan. So the Gemara says that was a Takanat Chachamim to recite V'al Anisim in the Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara quotes a Tosefta, what if by mistake a person forgot to recite V'al Anisim in the Shemoneh Esrei? So the Gemara says you don't repeat the Shemoneh Esrei because of lack of saying V'al Anisim. Only a Yom Sheyesh Bo Karban Musaf means a Yontav Deraisa. Yom Sheyesh Bo Karban Musaf, if you fail to mention Yalav Yavai, then you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. But a Yom Sheyesh Bo Karban Musaf means only a Yontav Derabanan, or it's not a Yontav, let's say it's a Tainus, and you're supposed to say Anenu. You're supposed to say Nachem Antishabov. So Yom Sheyesh Bo Karban Musaf, it's not a special day in HaTorah. It's only a Takana Derabanan. So then the Gemara said, Tosefta says that you don't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. But failing to mention the special uniqueness of the day. What about V'al HaNisim and Birchas HaMazon? Birchas HaMazon said, no delecho, we thank you. Like, Moedim HaNach Naloch and Nishman Esrei. So no delecho, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us food, for giving us Eretz Yisrael. Abrizcho shechasamte bevisareinu, Malterozcho shalimaratonu, Vachokecho shalimaratonu, Valchaim chemechesed shalimaratonu, V'al HaNisim ala purkan. We thank you for A, B, C, D, and for this as well. The Gemara has a discussion. The Gemara says, reciting V'al HaNisim and the Birchas HaMazon is permissible, but it's not obligatory. It's a minig. The minig is that we recite it. It's not considered a hefsek. And the minig in the days of the Gemara was that they would recite V'al HaNisim and Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara comes to the conclusion it's only optional. So that's obvious. If it's only a minig, if a person recites Birchas HaMazon on Chanukah and he failed to mention V'al HaNisim, of course he wouldn't be required to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. For all of the Yavim Tovim and Megillas Tainis, all the 35 or so Yavim Tovim and Megillas Tainis, there's only one that the Chachamim instituted a Takana to have a Suda. That's on Purim. All the other 34, there's no mitzvah Suda. That's a discussion for some other occasion. Why is that so? Why is Purim different from all the others? Why, how come on Purim there's a Chiv Suda? But so on Purim, there is a Chiv Suda. So many poskim are of the opinion then Al HaNisim and Birchas HaMazon is a takana. You have to have a Suda, and because the Suda, the same Suda is Purim, you have to recite the Al HaNisim. There's even a machlokes, what if a person recited Birchas HaMazon, he failed to mention the Al HaNisim on Purim, so the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes achrayim, some hold that you're not yotze the Suda is Purim, you have to bench again if you forgot Al HaNisim. That's a machlokes, whether one has to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. So the Gemara says they made a takona on this Yontif of Chanukah, also the Hesped of Atinus. Every day there are people dying. every day of the year people are dying. So when there's a funeral on Hanukkah, you're not allowed to deliver hesped. Also, the hesped, a person has yard site. Many people have a meaning that on a yard site they fast, that if the yard site is on Hanukkah, you're not allowed to fast. Also, hesped betainus. We read Kriyas HaTorah. We read Kriyas HaTorah about Chanukah Sanisim, because that's what the whole essence of the Yom Tov is all about. That's what all the Yom Tov and Megillas Tainus are all about. All have a connection with the Beis HaMikdosh. And we recite Halal Sholem, and we recite V'al HaNisim in the Shemona Esrei Medina, and we recite V'al HaNisim in the Berachas HaMazon Mitam Minhog. Then in addition to that, the Gemara says, they made a takana of Hadlokas HaMenorah. That's a historical question, whether the takana of Hadlokas HaMenorah was instituted. Hanukkah, the story of Hanukkah occurred 210 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdosh. And we know that they celebrated it, Issa Hesped V'tainas, and Kriyas HaTorah, and Halal, and V'al HaNisim. What about Hadlokas HaMenorah? That's a historical question. Did they have Hadlokas HaMenorah Bizman HaBayis also? Maybe that was only instituted after the Churban HaBayis. That's a discussion that Poskim have. There's a fellow who has a fascinating museum of old things from the days of Tanakh and from the days of the Tanoim. He claims that he has a menorah from the Zman HaBayis. According to his dating, he claims that they did observe Hadlokas HaMenorah Bizman Bayisheni. They didn't just make the takona after the Churban HaBayis. Al Kalpanim, the Gemara says, Zecha l'nes, to recall this nest that was prophesied in advance by the Nabi Haggai, that a fantastic miracle is going to occur during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, to demonstrate to everybody that there is a Hashuas HaShchina, and that nest was the nearest Chanukah and the Beis HaMikdash. So they made a takana, we should light the menorah every night for 8 nights. So the Gemara says, where is the makam Hadlokas HaMenorah? The Gemara says Hadlokas has to be B'Beiso. If you light in Times Square, you're not Yotze. If you light in Shul, you're not Yotze. No one's Yotze but the Hadlok and Shul. Hadlok and Shul is a minig, and it's questionable why we recite a brocha. The Sfardim have the practice, they don't recite a brocha when they say Chatzi Halal Amish Chodesh, because the Chatzi Halal Amish Chodesh is only a minig. And you only recite a brocha, according to the Sfardishe practice, you only recite a brocha when you fulfill a mitzvah min HaTorah or a mitzvah min HaRabbanan. But if you're just doing a minig, then their practices, they don't say brocha. So that's a question. But even the Sfardim have this meaning, to recite a brocha on Hadlokas HaMenorah in the Beis HaKnesses. But it says no one is yotze with that. You want the yotze Hadlokka bibbeis, so you have to light in your home. That's a question. Let's say the Talmidim are learning in Eretz Yisrael and their parents live in California. So the yotze with the Hadlokka that their parents have. The Gemara says, one of the Amoraim says when he was single, he had to always run home to light the menorah every night of Hanukkah, and it interfered with his ability to learn. He wasn't able to learn the whole night. He had to go home, then he had to go back to the Beis HaMikdash. Now that he got married, so his wife lights at home, and he doesn't have to interrupt his learning in the Beis HaMikdash. So we understand the wife lights at home, the husband is going to go to sleep at home. Later on, he's going to be home, so he's going to be yotze. That's Hadlokka B'Beiso. There's a question of this called Hadlokka B'Beiso. The student's learning in New York, the student's learning in Eretz Yisrael, and his parents live in California, and his parents are Madlik. He's Yotze, is that Hadlokka? So many Gdolim think that it is acceptable, and others think that not. Hadlokka B'Beiso means if you're there, you're going to go to sleep over there. But if you're not there, you're 5,000 miles away. How can you be Yotze Hadlokka HaMenorah if it's in a different location? So that's in the dormitories also. You can't be madlik wherever you please. Yeah, it has to be Hadlokka B'Beiso, so that's a big issue. That's a big question. Where exactly is the correct place to do Hadlokka HaMenorah? Years ago, when I was a student here, all the students used to light the menorahs in their dorm rooms. That's Hadlokka B'Beiso, by the windows of the dorm rooms. And then one of my star students, caused a fire in the dormitory. There were drapes nearby. And the whole place almost caught fire. So Dr. Lamb prohibited anybody from lighting in the dormitories. Years ago, in the Cleveland, in Tel Yeshiva in Cleveland, there was a fire on Hanukkah, and some of the boys were killed. Some of the boys lost their lives. One of the boys was the son of one of the rabbis here, Rabbi Katz. His son lost his life in the dormitory there. So that's Dr. Lamb didn't want to look for any trouble. So he didn't allow the students. So since then, they don't allow the students to light in the dormitory room. So that's a question, where exactly are you supposed to light? So you got to consult your rabbeim on that. So the Gemara says that when is the Zman of Hadlokah? So the Gemara says, Mishet Shoka Hachama. Gemara says, you can't light the menorah in the middle of the day. Shraga B'tiharo, Mayahari. If you have a candle lit at high noon, Shraga is a candle, Tiharo is a noon. So you don't give any illumination. You have to light at night. When it gives illumination, you're not allowed to be nena la or aner. You're not allowed to use the or aner, but it's not called hadlokas aner if it's in the middle of the daytime. So the Gemara says, you light mishet tishoka hachama. What exactly does that mean? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the three opinions. The Vilna Gaon says the ikar is at sunset, right after sunset, you should light. And then others say, no, mishet tishoka hachama means that seis hakochavim, whenever that is. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the third opinion is the Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam has a whole fantastic interpretation of Gemaras, and many Rishayim, most of the Rishayim agree with this Rabbi Natam, that from sunset till around 50 minutes after sunset is considered Vadayom. It's pitch black outside. The Vadayom, 50 minutes after sunset is Vadayom. And then Beirash Moshes goes around 15, 20 minutes from 50 minutes, another till 72 minutes, approximately. So the middle opinion is that you should light the menorah, mishet tishoka hachama, at the end of the period of time that's vada yoyim, before the Ben Hashmosh's period begins. So the three different opinions. I think in the yeshiva, the recommendation always was to light 10 minutes after sunset. So you get the Vilna Gaon shita and the other shitas. You have to have candles that'll be long enough that they'll burn a half an hour after Tzeis HaKochavim. I think that was the practice here in the yeshiva. How many candles do you have to light? So the Gemara has very interesting that takana was made with three parts. That the Iker Chayvus Hadlaka is, let's say you have a family, a husband and a wife and nine children. So the Iker takana was you light one candle every night. One candle the first night, one candle the second night, one candle the third night. That if you want to be Mahadrin, then you light Ne'eluchalechad v'yechad. Each member of the household, the husband, the wife, and the nine children, so you have 11 people, each one lights one candle every night. Ne'eluchalechad v'yechad. That's how the Ramo understands Ne'eluchalechad v'yechad. Each person lights his own menorah, and he says his own bracha on the menorah. How can he say his own bracha on the menorah? If Me'ikar Adin, everybody, whoever lights first, so all the members of the family will yotze, because the Ikar Takana was Ne'eri Shebeisim. One person lights and all the 11 members of the household are yotze. So how can the 10 who light after the first one, how can they say brach, they're already yotze? So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch quote the Maharil. Maharil says, since they have in mind that they're going to light their own menorah, so when the first person lights, whoever the oldest, the youngest, whoever lights first, whatever, what do they have? So all the other 10 members of the household have in mind, kavana shalolotzeis. They have in mind they don't want to be yotze. So they're not yotze. So the mechuyav meikar adin to light the ramanar. So why is that called mahadrin? It's mahadrin light ne'eluchalecha. The heed there is. You have in mind not to be yotze with his hadlaka. So you have to light your own hadlaka. But then you mechuyav meikar adin. And then they made a third takoda. Hamahadrin min hamahadrin should light more than one candle. Exactly how should that be done? So there the Gemara says there were two traditions: the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. Shammai and Hillel were the chief rabbi and the assistant. Hillel and Shammai was the chief rabbi. Shammai was the assistant chief rabbi. 100 years before the destruction of the second day Samigdash. So we're talking about a very old, either the Hadlokas have not already existed at the time of the Nes Chanukah, the last 200 years, or it was began after the destruction of the second day Samigdash. We're talking very old traditions. When they instituted this third part, the Mahadrin, and the Mahadrin, so from day number one, there were two practices how to fulfill this, Mahadrim and Amhadrim. So Beis Shammai's practice was, on the first night you light 8 candles, second night you light 7 candles, you keep on going down. And we follow Beis Hillel's practice that the reverse. On the first night you light 1 candle, second night you light 2 candles, and so on until the 8th night you light 8 candles. So this is called the Mahadrim and Amhadrim. So this is the common practice. It says even children, even young children, if a child is old enough to know how to light his own menorah, so you should have each child, each boy and each girl should light their own menorah. Married women, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Ramah's commentary on the bottom of the tour that's called Darkei Moshe, that a married woman should not light her own menorah, because since Ishtei Kegufay, The husband and the wife are considered like one, so since the husband already lit with their bracha, if the wife will light her own menorah and say her own bracha, this will be a bracha levatola, because it's like the same person lighting twice. Ishti kegufa, it's like the same person lighting twice. In Balozhin, this yeshiva, originally it was a combination of two yeshivas, Eitz Chaim and the yeshivas of Eitz Gohanan, two yeshivas on the east side. So yeshivas Eitz Chaim was named after Balozhin yeshiva. That was the name of the yeshiva Balozhin. But they have a lot of practices here from Balozhin. In Balozhin, the practice of the minig was that even married women would also light the Roman oil. That was Rav Soloveitchik's practice, that was Rav Moshe Feinstein's family tradition. His family also had traditions from Balozhin. Mrs. Feinstein's family did not have that practice. And Rabbi Feinstein didn't want to force his wife to maintain his family menorah. So she didn't want to light a Roman oil, so she didn't. But he told the Talmidim that his family tradition is from Balozhin that even the married women are supposed to light the Roman oil. More correct is that they should light the Roman oil. So there are different practices today. Yeah. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that all the first night we recite three brochas over the menorah, and the second night on we recite only the two brochas. You leave out the Sheikh Yonu. So all the three brochas the first night and both of the brochas the rest of the nights should be recited before the Hadlokas HaMenorah. Really, Birchas HaMitzvah has to be recited Oyva L'Asiyosim immediately before one is about to fulfill the mitzvah, so that's the brocha shekereshana b'mitzvah yisovet zivanu l'hadlik ner shal chanukah. That's the birchas hamitzvah. The other two maybe shouldn't be recited oiv alasiyosam. There are opinions that not. The Masechah Sofrim, which is from the days of the Gaonim, is written by the Gaonim in Eretz Yisrael. So the Masechah Sofrim presents it that the other two brochas, shos and nisim, shachyona, are recited after you light the menorah. But we don't follow that opinion. We follow the Maharil. In Shulchan Aruch, there are more quotes from the Maharil that all the three brachas should be recited prior to Hadlokas HaMenorah. The Gemara talks about an achsenoi, a person who is a guest in someone else's home. So an achsenoi is a technical term for a guest who's there for less than 30 days. If a fellow is staying there for more than 30 days, let's say it's a relative or a friend who's there for more than 30 days, so then he's considered one of the Bnei HaBayis, and he can be Yotze with the Adlok of the Bala Bayis. If he wants, he can light his own menorah. It's Beso, he can be Madlik Bebeso. Achsenai means a person who's a guest visiting by someone else's home is going to be there for less than 30 days. So then you have a problem. It's not Beso, and you can only be Yotze Adlok of Bebeso. So the Gemara says it should be Mishtata Bepruta with the Bala Bayis. He should be Koina Shutfis. Not in the menorah, it should be kind of shutfis in the wick and in the oil, in the candle. It should be kind of shutfis. Give a nickel, a dime, whatever, pruta, to the balabais, and be kind of shutfis with the balabais. And agav, the balabais, he's yotze. So there were poskim who are of the opinion that one who's a guest in someone else's home is only visiting there temporarily, he's not there for more than 30 days, that's the only way he can be yotze hadlokas neres chanukah, only with Mishtata Bepruta. He has no right to light on his own because it's not really based on. Mishnah Berurah says not so. Mishnah Berurah says if he wants to light his own, it's certainly good. But Rav Soloveitchik felt like the other opinion that the only way the guest can fulfill a mitzvah is al yidei Mishtata Bepruta. On Erev Shabbos, obviously.
Going back to the Zman Hadlok, guys often ask if they have a class at that time, let's say 10 minutes after Shkia, what's a better thing to do? Before or after this class, what would you recommend?
No, I think you should finish the class and then you go. They started college Hiskel Behetta. They started 3 o'clock, whatever. So they keep on, they stay in their classes, and then when they like people to go to work, so they don't go home and light right away.
What if the first class is at 4:45, punked around that time? Is that when class started 4:30? Right around Shkia, that's when
If you could light after the Shkia, it would make sense. But if you gotta have to light, see, on Erev Shabbos, that's what I was just about. On Erev Shabbos, we're not going to light after the Shkia, because we follow the opinion of the Vilna Gaon that right after the sun sets, It's already Safik Yom, Safik Lad. It's already Bein Hashmashas. We're not going to light 50 minutes after the Shkiyah. We're not going to light 72 minutes after the Shkiyah. We're going to light after Plagat Mincha. We're going to light before the Shkiyah. So on Erev Shabbos, you have no choice. What about the rest of the week? What if a person has a Shas Adchak? Is he able to be Madlik the Menorah after Plagat Mincha? So in Shulchan Aruch, it's a dispute. And we're Mekel on that. But I don't think over here it's right to be Mekel to light before Shkiyah, because you have a class then. You should go to class before the Shkiyah, and after the class is over, I think then you go to the dorm and you light. I would think so. Yeah. In Shul.
People are going away for Shabbos Hanukkah, let's say?
People are going away, they're going to friends or relatives or whatever, then they should be Mishtata Bepruta with the Balabais. They should either give them a quarter and be kind of Shutfis, not in the menorah. Menorah is a $1,000 silver menorah, no. I mean, kind of shutfis in the oil and the wick. So the biyotza agav the balabais. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch.
Well,
it's
late Sunday night here. Shabbos.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think more correct is that you have a toss up of either being yotze there, either yachsanoi, or being yotze here, but beso. I think it's better to be yotze here. Beso is over here. You sleep here in the dormitory, so you should light here.
Even if they get back at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, the people roaming around in the dormitory all night long. No, they don't go to sleep here.
Can they eat before they light when they get back?
We have a din. You're not allowed to eat before you perform a mitzvah to make sure that you don't forget about doing the mitzvah. It's the same name of Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky that you can't tell people that they're not allowed to eat. Let's say a guy's in the office and he's not going to come home till 8:30 at night. So you can't tell him he's not allowed to eat. He's not in a position that he should fulfill the mitzvah. You tell a person, don't eat, do the mitzvah. But he's not in a position to do the mitzvah now. He's in the wrong location. So they said in the name of Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky that it's permissible to eat. The only time we prohibit you from eating is, you say, don't eat, do your mitzvah. But he's in the wrong place. He can't do the mitzvah. He can't tell him he has to go, he has to leave the office. He's in the business, he's in college, he's in school. He has to stay there. Some of the students used to light menorahs in the classroom. So that's not acceptable. That's not bebeso. Hadlaka has to be bebeso. Bebeso is the question where it is here, either the cafeteria or the dormitory. So that you got to speak to your Rebbe about that. Well, it's called Hadlaka bebeso.
Does anyone have any questions?
Have you been in an apartment with, let's say, two other people or three other roommates? Are you allowed everyone to chip in for one menorah on light together? Is that not ideal?
The Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes about that. That's very questionable because the only time the Gemara talks about chipping in is Mishtata Bepruta. And one, when you have the family who lives there, and I'm a guest for less than 30 days, I'm batel agav the balabayis. But over here, no one is tuffel to anybody. Each one is independently chayiv and menorah, and it's really based off all of them. The more correct there is that everyone should light their own, not only as mahadrin, but that's the Iker Adin. Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes Rishonim about that.
Anyone else have questions?
Yeah. What constitutes living in a place? So if you've been in college for 3-4 years, and you have your own apartment for that amount of time, and then you come home to your family's house, are you responsible to light as if you lived there, or are you supposed to contribute to?
Well, you're still single.
Well,
you're not married.
You're still single, yeah.
The guy's still single, so basically he enjoys his staying home. He gets along with his parents. He enjoys his mother's food. So that's based on when he goes home, it's based on. I remember once in the middle of the week, I used to stay in the dormitory. In the middle of the week, I wanted to go home because I missed my mother's latkes. So I mentioned to Rabbi Soloveitchik, I'm going home. So he said with a straight face, it's a question if you'd say, had luck of the beso at home. I think he was kidding. Because I used to stay in the dormitory the whole week. So he said with a straight face, it's a question. I don't think that's a question. I think if you're home, home is home. But if you're visiting by a friend, so then it's achsanoi. Then you have, so then it's recommended. You should be kind of shutfus rather than like your own menorah. You should be kind of shutfus in the kettle of the balabais.
So does that mean if one does not enjoy being home, is it good? That's not for me.
No, if a person, let's say, a person is married, let's say, so he has his own apartment, and so then when he comes to visit with his parents, that he's basically an achsanoi. But if a guy is single, whether he likes it or not, his home is home. Yeah.
There's a question in the back.
Yes.
What exactly would constitute Pursu Minisa? How many people need to be around? What's too late?
In the days of the Gemara, they used to light outside. And the Gemara says, if you lit inside and you took it outside, you're not Yotze, because Hadlaka is a mitzvah. You lit it in the wrong place. Would appear from the Gemara that if you light it inside the house, you're not Yotze at all. But then the Braisa says, B'shasa sakana, if they're going to make a gzeira and they don't allow the Jews to light outside, so it says, you light, v'nichal shalchana v'dai, you light in your house and you eat, and that's good enough. So what do you accomplish? If the Braisa says, you're not Yotze if you light in the house. So the Gemara apparently thought at one point, that menichal shulchan v'da, you light the menorah in the house, is a zechel of mitzvahs menorah. And you don't say any brocha because you're not yotzi anything. Then the Gemara backs out from that pshat in the Braisa. The Gemara says, no, the reason why if you lit it in the house and you took it outside, you're not yotzi, is because when a person walks with a candle years ago, the onlooker will think that he lit it just to serve the purpose of illumination. It doesn't look like a pisuminisa. It says in the Gemara also, a person stands with a menorah for an hour, he lights a menorah, he stands like this. Says he's not Yotze. Why is that? Because there's no pisum in Yisrael. People will think that he lit it just for the purpose of illumination. See, even if he lit it in the house and he took it outside, since he's carrying it, haroya oimer, the onlooker will think that letzarchu hu diadlaka, he lit it for his own purposes. So once you get to the conclusion of the Gemara, then we assume that if you light it in the house, you are Yotze b'diavad. You are Yotze, and you do say a bracha, just that the more correct location was to light it outside, in front of the house, to gain more pisumi nisa. The further away you light it, so the more pisumi nisa there's going to be. But if you light it in Times Square, it's not been tzuruf lebeso, as be hadlaka lebeso. So you have to light it as far away as possible, but it should be still mitzuruf to your home. If you light it too far away, then it's not mitzuruf to your home. So there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosafot where you're supposed to light it. Rashi says, Al Pesach Beisam Ibachutz, in front of the door of your home. Tosafot says, no, they used to have homes in a chotzer. The chotzer was, they still have places like that in New York, where you have apartments in a chotzer, and then the chotzer leads into a larger area. So Tosafot's opinion is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that you should really be madlik Al Pesach HaChotzer, not Al Pesach HaBayis. Al Pesach HaChotzer, to gain more pisum in Nisim. How many people have to see? So in the days of the Gemara, the people would be roaming around approximately the first half hour after the sunset. So you have to have the Ner Chanukah burning for the whole time. Today, Achitich L'Reg Men Ashuk is a lot of times till 2 o'clock in the morning. So many are of the opinion to light a menorah that should last all night long. If you live in a location where people are roaming around till the wee hours of the morning, so you should light a menorah that should last so long. The generally accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that since in the days of the Gemara it was a half an hour, so that's it. So you just light a menorah that should burn for half an hour. The practice today is that we're not really so interested in the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. We're interested in the Bnei Habayis. The Iker Pesumi Nisa Bayas, the Iker Adloke is for the Bnei Habayis. So if, let's say, a person comes home, he has 9 children and they're all sleeping. He comes home at 11:30 at night and they're all sleeping. So the audience that he's intended for is the husband, the wife, and the 9 children, and almost everybody's sleeping. So that's Tichle Regem and Ashuk. So the audience that it's intended for is not there. So that's not good. So the Mishnah Berurah says you got to wake up all the children. Well, he has to come home earlier. He should. The rive of the children should. The rive of the members of the household should be awake when he lights the menorah. If a guy lives all by on his own, and he's lighting for himself, so he has 100% audience participation. The audience that he's intended for is himself, and he's there. He's awake. So that's fine. Shulchan Aruch says if there's only one Jew who lives in the city, and everybody else are non-Jews, and we assume in Shulchan Aruch that Pesumi Nisa is for the Jews, so he's the whole Pesumi Nisa is for himself. So there's no issue of Tichel Regem and Ashuk. He's lighting for himself, and he's there. He's watching it when it burns. There used to be a practice. Now it's out of style. That the only time you have to light a menorah that should last for half an hour is if you're intending for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. In the course of a half an hour, different people will walk back and forth in the street and notice the menorah. But if you're lighting for the Bnei Habayis, you're lighting inside the house, so everybody saw the menorah already. So what do you need that it should burn for half an hour? Burns for 5 minutes is also good enough. You can blow it out after 5 minutes. That's not the generally accepted practice. Generally accepted practice is that even though the hadlaka is only intended for the Bnei Habayis, still we want that it should burn for half an hour.
Based on that, if you live in an apartment with other people, if you're the roommates, should you wait for them all to be there and then light together?
Yeah, more correct is you should wait till everybody's there. Yeah. They should make up together when they're going to be there. You should have the maximum. You should light at the time that you're going to have the maximum. Pirsumini. So, yeah. The Meiri quotes, and in the days of the Bali Ataisvas, their practice was that they learned in their Seder till the end of their Zman, and then they went home to light the Neres Chanukah. They didn't go home right away at Shkia. So Rav Soloveitchik recommended that we should do the same as the Bali Ataisvas. That we should, those people in the Kotel. A lot of Kotelim, they take off. And Chanukah, everybody leaves before the Shkia in order to be madlik the menorah right at the Shkia. Rav Soloveitchik thought that we shouldn't try to be more frum than the Bali Ataisvas. Bali Ataisvas sat and they learned till the end of the Seder, and then they lit the menorah 3 hours after the sunset, so we can do the same as the Bali Ataisvas.
Is Asr Lishamish Le'ora only when there's no other light in the room, and it's just your menorah, or if there's other light in the room, are you allowed to use the light of the menorah combined with other light?
We always have a shamas, so if you want to read something, so that if the shamas gives enough night light to be able to read, so it's not in violation of lishtamish liar. So if you have another light on, it's also. But that's also a problem. If you have the big lights on the ceiling are on, and it floods the whole room with light, and then you light a menorah, that's a question. That's like shraga b'tiara. That's like lighting the menorah at high noon, that it doesn't give any illumination. So really, more correct is when you light the menorah, should be in a dark room. So the hadlokas ha-menorah is giving illumination. You're not supposed to use the or aner, but it's not called the hadlokas aner if it doesn't give he-or, it doesn't give illumination.
Can you turn the light on afterwards, once for half an hour, or how long should the light be off an hour?
If you turn it on within a half hour, that's like kippur. That's like extinguishing the menorah. I think you should not turn on the light.
By lighting the Chanukah candle in shul, so the first night we say all three brachas. So the question is, the person that's making the brachas by the Shekhinah at shul, does he go home and still say Shekhinah again, or?
So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetav writes that if he has his wife or children at home who didn't hear Shekhinah yet, so then he can say Shekhinah for them. But if he's lighting on his own, then he was ready to say Shekhinah in the shul. So they're only worried about the Shekhinah. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that you have to be concerned about the Shas and Nisim as well. He thought that it's not so agreed upon. Not everybody agrees that the bracha of Shas and Nisim is a bracha on Hadlokah. Because the Gemara says, well, if you're walking in the street and you see someone else's menorah, then you can say Shas and Nisim, I was saying. So here, if the Chazan and Shul, whoever lit the menorah and Shul, if he said Shas and Nisim and Shul, could be that he was here, he said the Bracha Shas and Nisim also. He should only repeat it at home if he has wife or children who need the Bracha Shas and Nisim.
If there's a Katan in Shul, is it best that he say those Brachas, or does it make a difference?
I would think that it is best, yeah. Some people are very touchy about that. They think that that's scandalous. They ask a Katan. I thought that's recommended. Let the Katan light in Shul. The bracha, what he's going to do at home is a different question. What's the kid going to do at home? It's his problem. But, yeah, there are Spanish Chubas where they write like that. The cotton can lighten shul, and it's not a problem. Yeah. In shul, the meaning is that we don't light dafke after the shki and so on. Meaning is, shul, we light in between mincha and ma'arev, and a lot of times it's a little bit before the shki. So many of the, quite a few of the poskim of the last generation thought that it's a special takana, a special minik to light dafkin shul between mincha ma'ariv, if the dav mincha right before the shkia, ma'ariv right after, so mamish in between, you have a minyan, so the minyan, the tzibur, should fulfill this minik of hadlokas ha'menor. Here in the Beis HaMedrash, we dav in mincha at 2:30, then we dav ma'ariv at 5:30. So we don't really have at 4:30 when it's the shkia. We didn't just dav in mincha, we're not going to dav ma'ariv right after. We want to really have a tzibur. Everybody's learning on their own. You only have a tziruf of a tzibur when they dav in mincha and they needed a minyan for the davish of Bigdusha, for the kaddish, for the kaddish tiskabel. And then you're going to dav ma'ariv, you're going to say barucha, you're going to say kaddish tiskabel after ma'ariv. So you have a tzibur that was nitzarf yachad fa mincha, and then the tzibur is going to continue to be mitzuruf yachad till after Ma'ariv. So in between, you have the tzibur should light the neres Chanukah. But if they daven mincha way before, or they're going to daven Ma'ariv way later, it's not in between mincha and Ma'ariv, then maybe you should light a menorah, but you don't say a bracha. You only say a bracha in shul if it's between mincha and Ma'ariv. Many of the gedolim of the last generation were not happy about the Lubavitcher practice to say a bracha on Hadlokas HaMenorah in Times Square in a public location. They thought that this, the old minig that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that even Sfardim practice, that you say a bracha on Hadlokas HaNeres and Beis HaKnesses, is only when you have a tziruf of the tzibur for a minyan. Or let's say you have a wedding and they're going to, in the middle of the dinner and the wedding, someone's going to light the menorah. It's not beiso. There's no one's beiso. And it's not, even if they daven Ma'ariv there, but it's not the Beis HaKnesses. The minhag only was the Beis HaKnesses between Mincha and Ma'ariv. A lot of times, on Friday afternoon, people come to shul, and they're going to daven Mincha late, and if they're going to light the menorah in between Mincha and Kabbalah Shabbos, it's going to be after the Shkia already. The L'chazan is going to finish the Chazaras HaShatz HaMincha. It'll already be too late. So a lot of shuls, they have the Chazan lights the menorah before Mincha. So in Shulchan Aruch they talk about that. Rabbi Yaakov Emden talks about it. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said from his father that it's not right to say a bracha in such a case. You only say a bracha if you're lighting in shul in between mincha and ma'ariv. If you're lighting before mincha, or you're not going to have a ma'ariv minyan right away, so then we don't, the minig to say the bracha doesn't apply. The Rambam says that the mitzvah of hadlokas neres chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva miyod, because the mitzvah is to reminisce about the fact Pirsumi Nisa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went out of his way to make a miracle for the tzaddikim, for the chashmonaim. So the Rambam says that therefore, even if a person doesn't have any money, let's say a person can't afford, a person is in Alaska, and he got stuck there for sukkahs, and he can't afford to buy lulav and an esrog. He's going to buy lulav and esrog, going to have to blow in more than one-fifth of his total savings in order that they should deliver to him a dalad minim by the first day of Sukkah. So the dinner said, you're not mechuyif. It'll cost more than chomesh, more than one-fifth of your total savings. You're not mechuyif to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Rambam says, but Ner Chanukah is different. Ner Chanukah, since we're implying that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu went out of his way, bent over backwards to do a miracle for us then, he should bend over backwards to do a miracle for us now. He should continue to do nisim. So we can't live with a cheshbon like that. We're not going to spend too much money. We expect him to go out of his way. So when it comes to Ner Chanukah, the Rambam writes that you have to go be mechazor al apsachim. You have to go beg for money. If you don't have enough money to buy candles, you have to go beg for money, even if you can't afford it, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of hadlokas neres Chanukah. There is a question whether one can be in fulfillment of a locus neris chanukah if the neris are not contained in a kli. Some people don't have a menorah, so they just take wax candles and they melt the bottom of the wax candle and they put it on the windowsill. So some of the poskim came up with a chiddush, you need a kli. If the neris are not held contained in a kli, that you're not, you'd say, like in the Beis HaMikdash, the neris had to be in a menorah, you had to have a kli. Others disagree. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, but on the second night on, from the second night on, you want to be Moshe V'Hoylech, you want to have two candles, three candles, four candles. So if you want the candles to be Mitzuraf Yachad, they have to be in one kli. If one candle is going to be one kli, the other candle is going to be another kli, then it's not Mitzuraf Yachad. Rav Moshe thought, from the second night on, you have to have candles in a kli, one kli. The first night, maybe not.
If there's Erev Shabbos, you don't have enough money for Ner Chanukah or Ner Shabbos, like, you can only spend a fifth up for Shabbos, right? And you have to spend all your money for Chanukah. So what should
undo? Yeah, the Gemara says if you only have enough money for one, then you have to buy an Erev Shabbos. Yeah. Yeah. So Taisus raises that issue, but you have to spend all the money, you have to spend all your money for Ner Chanukah. But Ner Shabbos comes before. You're going in a vicious circle over here. So what do you do? I don't know. So Taisus raised the question. Very good. Okay, there are many more details in Hilchas Chanukah. You learn in the Shulchan Aruch. Very good. How about Slochem?
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Ruchim, to you. Okay.